Welcome to Take Note on WPSU. I'm Patty Satalia. The Pennsylvania Association for Sustainable Agriculture, or PASA, has been supporting and promoting sustainable farming practices for a quarter century. Now, after 15 years, this local organization that's known nationally is under new leadership. Hannah Smith Brubaker left the job of Deputy Secretary of Agriculture for Pennsylvania to head up the organization. She also helps manage Village Acres, a farm in Juniata County. Smith Brubaker talked with WPSU's Emily Reddy about her plans for PASA.
Hannah Smith Brubaker, thanks for talking with us.
Happy to be with you today.
So PASA does education and advocacy work for sustainable agriculture. In this world of organic this and organic that, I wonder, why does PASA stick with sustainable and not organic?
Well, I think one of the things that all of our farmers are committed to is the concept of regeneration, particularly soil regeneration. And farmers can use any number of quote-unquote sustainable practices, some of whom choose organic. But to ensure that while we are feeding people, we're also regenerating our soils.
And I'm always impressed by the range of different kinds of farmers that I see at events like the PASA annual conference that just happened. Can you talk about the different kinds of farmers you represent?
Oh, gosh. It's one of the things I love about PASA is that there's such a broad range of farmers, not only in age, gender, background. We have here in Pennsylvania the wonderful Plain Sect community as part of our agricultural identity at our conference.
So Plain like the Amish?
Yes.
Mennonites?
Yes. So at our conference, we learned that while the majority of the folks attending, something like 65% are either actively farming or beginning in farming, we also have many folks who are just plain food systems advocates who like to come and be with us as well. But out of those farmers, at least at this last conference, more than half were women, which is really,
really
reflective of the area that's growing in agriculture in Pennsylvania in particular.
Now, you mentioned the Plain, the Amish. They wouldn't go through those organic certification.
Actually, some do.
They do? Okay.
Yeah. Pennsylvania actually has a unique relationship with the federal USDA program, the Certifier for Organic, that we have a very good relationship with our Amish growers who do participate in the cost share programs.
So is it daunting to come on as the head of PASA after Brian Snyder, who was in the position for 15 years, actually grew the membership from about 1,000 to now about 5,000 members?
Well, certainly Brian had a great record with PASA in increasing our fold. But, you know, honestly, for me, it feels like coming home. Our own farm is a lifetime member of PASA, and it's just a community that means a lot to me.
So you and your wife, along with her parents, operate Village Acres Farm in Juniata County. How does that, having run a farm, one that has a community-supported agriculture program, raises some livestock, how does that inform your new position?
Oh, in such a fundamental way. You know, it doesn't matter whether I'm talking to other farmers, I'm talking to funders, I'm talking to you. I can come from a place of knowing what it means to farm, what we face, what some of our challenges are, and honestly, again, going back to that soil regeneration, I keep my eye on that. It's really important to me, and I know it's important to our membership.
What do you mean by soil regeneration? Why don't you delve into that, since that seems to be one of the main tenets of this sustainable agriculture?
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes sustainable gets a little bit of criticism because some people might say, well, it's not good enough to just return the soil to the same state it was before we grew, for example, vegetables, which remove nutrients from the soil. But in fact, and many of us use animals to do this on our farm, we're constantly returning nutrients to the soil and ensuring that the soil is in a better condition when we're done growing than when we started.
You just left the job of Deputy Secretary for Agriculture for this position as the head of the Pennsylvania Association for Sustainable Agriculture. Why leave that position for this one?
Okay. So big question. I get asked this a lot. Honestly, if I'd been asked a year ago, I wouldn't have done it because we were in the middle of working on forwarding some really important programs, not the least of which had to do with programs relevant to the organic and sustainable agriculture community. But in my time there, we were able to achieve, I think, a number of significant programs, including PASS, which is the Pennsylvania Agricultural Surplus System, which helps cover some of the pick and pack costs for farmers who are diverting a portion of their harvest to the charitable food system. We worked on negotiating deed terms with the federal NRCS to be able to ensure that we can bring federal dollars into our farmland preservation program. We also started the Organic Transition Assistance Program, which helps people who are transitioning to organic recover some of the costs that are involved. You know, this position at PASA, as you mentioned, you know, Brian was with us for 15 years, comes around about every 10 to 15 years. And it's no lie. It is a community that means a lot to me and others in our agricultural community. And I just felt like it was a right fit for me. The timing was right. Secretary Redding has been tremendously supportive of my transition. Of course, it was bittersweet. I hated to leave, but it was an opportunity, and I'm not leaving agriculture. So that relationship with the department will continue to be very strong.
And PASA is known throughout the country, has members from throughout the country. This is a pretty visible and important organization.
Yes, I think so. You know, we at our conferences, we might have as many as 25 different states and some other countries represented.
One of the major areas you oversaw while working for Pennsylvania's Department of Agriculture was agricultural markets and economic development. What did you learn there that you can bring to PASA?
Well, you know, I learned the same thing in that bureau as I learned from any other thing I was exposed to while at the department, and that is that the agricultural table needs to be a welcoming one. Everybody needs to have a place at the table. We sometimes hear that, you know, for example, organic farmers maybe don't have something to learn from conventional farmers, and I don't believe that. I've talked to conventional farmers who do an excellent job with no-till, and as a vegetable farmer myself, I know that we have something to learn from those farmers. So I bring with me that willingness to anyone who wants to sit at the table with me and to come and sit with me. We have a lot to learn from each other, and division is not going to benefit any of us.
I think it was a press release about your hire said that you create a big tent. I think this is perhaps what that's talking about.
That's definitely an area of focus for me.
PASA's Farming for the Future conference just took place in State College. What kinds of concerns did you hear about from members?
Well, you know, it's a time of transition. You know, people want to make sure that we're going to continue to be focused on our mission. Over the last year, we really have taken a hard look at our programming. And we are really focusing now on both our annual conference and our Soil Institute. And that Soil Institute includes farmer-to-farmer exchange opportunities, farm research opportunities, and our apprenticeship program that has just really gotten underway in the last year.
Transition, though, in what way do you mean?
Yeah, our organization, anytime there's been an executive director at the helm of an organization for 15 years, you know, the culture sort of adopts the identity of that person to some degree. And while Brian had a fantastic opportunity to go to Ohio State University, we're all now coming together and sort of taking a look at, okay, what does the next 15 years involve for us?
I wondered about the theme of the conference, Hope, Farm, Heal. What is that about?
Well, you know, t- today, whether it is in the PASA organization or more broadly in our culture, it's a time of uncertainty. And, you know, we don't want to move forward without a sense of hope for our future. We're certainly committed to farming. That's not a question. But just as I mentioned with the soil regeneration and as a community, sort of this sense of regeneration and growth, we're sort of healing as a community. We go through changes in times of transition, and now we're coming out of that. And I think we can all celebrate that we're prepared. We're better prepared for the future.
I actually sent my intern over to the conference to ask members some questions they have for you as the new head of PASA. One of them, I think, touches on what you're talking about right now. Here's a question from Gary Bloss, a lifetime member of PASA and a farmer in Monroe County, Pennsylvania.
The biggest question is really how to move the PASA family forward in these trying times in a hopeful, positive, and loving way.
So moving forward positively, what would you say to Gary about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to some degree, you know, that echoes my comments about having a welcoming table. But it's also, you know, this has been a time really focusing on how do we want to make sure that we're delivering to our farmers? How can we make our one corner of the world a better place? And in practical terms, if you look at whether it's our dairy grazing apprenticeship, which this year we have 6 master grazers and 3 apprentices involved in those programs, or if you're looking at some of the farm-based research we're doing with vegetable farmers, we often get the question, how can we as members of PASA act as independent citizen scientists in a time like this when some people are even questioning climate change? And some of the early indications that we get are that our organic vegetable farmers are increasing their soil organic matter in the fields an average of 132% above typical levels for their soil types. And that they're keeping their fields covered with biomass 2/3 of the year. Those far exceed what's typical for a farmer. And so, yes, it's a time of uncertainty, but if we're really, really focused on our mission and we're focused on doing the best we can possibly do for Pennsylvania agriculture and agriculture more broadly, I think that does serve us very well.
I don't want to read too much into Gary's question, but I wonder if he's referring to our new president. What effect do you think the Trump presidency, if any, will have on sustainable agriculture?
To some degree, I can't answer your question. Time will tell. We do know that his nominee for secretary, Perdue, has at least experience with management and with government. And so perhaps that gives us some indication that there won't be a radical change in the services of the USDA. But we are concerned, particularly with the Farm Bill coming up, to what degree research dollars will be supported, the Farm to School program, where subsidy reforms will play a role, and really to what degree conservation and local food systems will be supported, and how much marketplace transparency there will be. So those are all questions that we're going to have to wait on a little bit, but it won't stop us from doing the good work that we'll intend to do regardless of who's president.
I talked with Brian Snyder, your predecessor, a few years ago about the Food Safety Modernization Act. He thought some of the regulations from the FDA were overly burdensome and could be tough on farmers. Could there actually be for your farmers fewer government regulations? I mean, could they actually enjoy some of that freedom, or are there other trade-offs?
Well, I'll broadly answer your question that certainly there could be. We know even with some of the recent rules perhaps on hold, we're not really clear exactly which of the recent rulings are on hold yet. But when it comes to something like the Food Safety Modernization Act, that's really going to be a marketplace decision. Particularly for someone like on our own farm, our CSA members can come to our farm, they can see our practices. But if we're selling wholesale, we're selling to restaurants, that marketplace is going to control to what degree we're in compliance or out of compliance with something like FSMA.
If you're just joining us, this is Take Note on WPSU. Hannah Smith Brubaker, the new executive director for the Pennsylvania Association for Sustainable Agriculture, or PASA, talked with WPSU's Emily Reddy about plans for the organization moving forward.
I have a question from another PASA member from the conference. Wesley Gordon is a farmer from just over the Pennsylvania border into Maryland. He's been a member for 20 years. And I'll warn you, first he butters you up, and then he hits you with the tough question.
Okay.
All right.
Well, first of all, I think Hannah is a wonderful, excellent choice to lead PASA for the next number of years. She's been a longtime member of PASA. She has a wide experience in Pennsylvania agriculture, and I think that she'll be a wonderful leader. I would ask her what measures she's going to take to ensure the long-term financial viability of the organization.
So what will you do to make sure that this organization's financially viable going into the future?
Well, like anything else, you know, as a farmer, we mitigate risk through diversification, right? So one of the things that I'll bring to the table is diversifying our portfolio in terms of where we are looking for money. But it also goes back to your earlier question about to what degree does my being a farmer inform what I bring to the organization. And honestly, I'm very much looking forward to meeting with some of our larger funders, the foundations, some of our private donors, being able to answer their questions when they ask me, how will this serve your membership? I have the firsthand experience to be able to answer that question. I would also say, in my mind, there's nothing more important than relationships. And so whether it's through the welcoming table, whether it's through working with our long-term partners, whether it's being open to encouraging new partnerships, all of those are ways that we further ensure the financial viability of our organization.
I noticed during the conference there was a PASA session on how farmers are dealing with extreme weather and climate change. What are farmers doing in reaction to uncertain weather going forward? For example, it's early February and we're getting temperatures in the 50s.
Okay, so part of that is that you'll find in the PASA membership that farmers employ a good number of conservation practices on their farm, whether it's through water catchment, rainwater catchment for times when there isn't as much rain, or perhaps it's ensuring that maybe they're using high tunnels for season extension, ensuring that there are buffer areas installed around their farm. I do not believe that conservation in any way is the enemy of agriculture. I think if anything, it will ensure that we can continue to feed people.
But are you hearing stories of farmers who are having to make big changes because of changes in the climate?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, we saw in Pennsylvania not only record drought, but record rainfall in some places. I had an opportunity to visit with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration last year through an organic stakeholders group that I belong to. And, you know, some of the long-term projections for Pennsylvania involve a lot of rain. So we're going to have to see how that impacts us over time. But we really cannot just keep farming thinking that things aren't going to change. It's the one thing in farming we know always happens is change. As far as the climate, we're best prepared by ensuring that we're employing conservation practices wherever possible.
Is there an impact from having a president and quite a few members of Congress who say that climate change either isn't real or isn't caused by humans? Is there an impact that gets down to the level of your everyday farmer?
Sure. Particularly if farmers are using any of the federal programs, we don't know if they'll continue to be funded through the 2018 Farm Bill. I hope that they will be. To some degree, you know, there are things we can do on our farm that don't cost money or that we wouldn't be seeking reimbursement for. But really, if particularly for those farmers who maybe are in transition stage and want to employ more conservation measures and really need some help doing that, I hope that that's not impeded.
Are there particular classes that would address those things? Because I know that that's something that PASA does is a lot of classes, the conferences, workshop after workshop.
Yes, and it's not only the annual conference, but all of our field days throughout the year. Most of our farm-based field days, attendees are going to have an opportunity to see conservation practices on the ground.
Looking toward the future, farmers on the whole are aging. Farmers' kids often don't want to take over the family farm. How do you get more younger people involved in farming?
Well, what we do know is the area of agriculture that's growing in Pennsylvania is with younger farmers. I mentioned also more women coming in to agriculture. You know, if you look at the last organic survey in Pennsylvania, which is based off of the organic census, and our National Ag Statistics Service has been doing an annual agriculture survey in Pennsylvania. I believe this will be the third year in a row this year. We find that in sustainable agriculture, particularly in organics, there's this bubble that's occurring around the 35-year mark. And to some degree younger. And that's not reflective of the broader range in agriculture where the bubble tends to be a little older. So a lot of our farmers who are coming into agriculture do tend to be younger.
So if there are younger farmers, a lot of them are in sustainable farming.
Yes, yes. Mm. And I would mention with that, you know, another area that's really growing, particularly in Pennsylvania, are veteran farmers, and they also tend to be very attracted to organic and sustainable practices.
Veterans, they're coming back from maybe Iraq or
yes.
Afghanistan, and they're
yes.
deciding to be farmers.
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's a great match. You know, you're talking about people who are extremely dedicated, have worked to protect us here in the U.S. Who maybe, honestly, there's also a part of it that can be healing for people. We have certain partners like the Rodale Institute or Delaware Valley with organic agriculture training programs specifically for veterans. And we're finding more and more this increase at our conferences and field days where veterans are coming back from serving, and they want to serve their community in a new way. The National Farmer Veteran Coalition also is very helpful with that as well.
When you envision the future of sustainable farming, what do you see? What changes do you see? What do you see staying the same?
I see the increase in local food systems really ramping up. I don't know if you're aware, but Pennsylvania actually has the highest number of direct sales farms in the country, and they're in the top five for direct sales in dollar amounts.
So would that be farmers market, community-supported agriculture, or CSA programs?
Yep, all of it, on-farm markets. So we have a lot of opportunity. Maybe it's because we're a commonwealth and we tend to have this identity of, you know, kind of a patchwork of local communities. It's very much in our identity. But I think we're very well positioned, particularly because we're so close to so many of the other larger markets, that where people are willing to do what can be a very labor-intensive form of farming, particularly if you're growing vegetables, continue to grow this sense of diversification and delivering to their local community. I think we're really well positioned for that.
Well, I know in the State College area, there are maybe 6 or 8 different community-supported agriculture programs, and I don't know, 4 or 5 farmers markets a week, during the summer. So
yes, very lucky, very lucky.
So what does PASA and what do other organizations that do similar things, what do they need to do to get to this future of sustainable farming?
Well, I think that, you know, to some degree, PASA is answering that question with this refocusing on the Soil Institute and our annual conference. And maybe that's something that I would recommend to our partners as well. We sometimes can try to be everything to everyone. And I'd argue that if we work in partnership with other organizations and each one of us is really focusing in on our individual mission and best serving our individual membership, but taking every opportunity to work together, I think together we will all find ourselves in a thriving, vibrant market.
In talking with people at the conference, were there any what you would call sustainability success stories that you heard?
Well, I certainly think, it's not just the stories of the young farmers. Maybe they've been farming for 7 or 8 years. They're really diversified. They're selling to restaurants. They're selling in the wholesale market. They're doing a CSA on farm. And they're really doing it in a financially viable way. So that's certainly we hear about that. But what I found so striking is how many of our members who, might be in their 20th, 30th year of farming now are transitioning that farm to their children. And in some cases, their grandchildren are working on the farm. People can have this misconception that sustainable agriculture doesn't mean financial sustainability. And it's always very exciting to me to see how families can provide a future for their children and their grandchildren in a way that is honoring the earth needs, that is feeding people, that is really giving back to their family, to their local community. We really can have all of that and succeed.
Hannah Smith Brubaker, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
WPSU's Emily Reddy talked with Hannah Smith Brubaker, the new executive director for the Pennsylvania Association for Sustainable Agriculture. Thanks for joining us. I'm Patty Satalia, WPSU.